You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
But here's the reality. I'm still a fan of direct mail. I'm still a fan of traditional, advertising methods when it's built around a strategy. So I'm not a fan of going, hey, we have about 200,000 homes in our community. Let's send everybody a piece of mail. That's not an effective strategy.
Welcome to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. We are your hosts, Mr. Jason Hamrock, the CEO of Missional Marketing. Good day, Jason.
Good day, Bart. How are you today?
I'm doing great. My name is Bart Blair. I'm the brand director for the Missional Marketing team within the Missional Marketing group of companies. And man, I'm delighted to be doing another podcast episode with you, Jason. We've been scheduling a few of these on Fridays, and it's actually kind of a fun way to wrap up the week. We always take a few minutes to kind of catch up on how our week has been going before we jump in here and talk about all the fun and exciting things that we get to talk about. And I'm glad you had a good week. A busy week, a good week.
It's a busy week. I love talking with churches and just giving them advice and counsel, and that fuels me up. And of course, churches bring me their challenges. And so, sometimes that can be a little draining, but you dive in because you got to get through it. So all in all, great week to connect with our team and help churches win. And as of this moment right here, we're about a week from Easter in 2025. And so we're just super pumped and praying that God's going to do some amazing things, which he always does, this Easter season to bring more people into in the kingdom of heaven by saying yes to him.
Yep, absolutely. We are in the middle of it. It's very exciting. Now, by the time you are listening to this episode or watching it on our YouTube channel, it'll be past Easter. You'll actually probably be flying towards the summer. And our goal with this podcast is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communication. And today we're going to talk about a few different topics that I think actually could be super helpful for churches as they move into the summer months, some things to think about, some things to work on. Now, I kind of jokingly put at the top of this, the document that you and I are reading some questions off of, the mailbag episode. And I'll be honest, I stole that. I listened to a podcast called, I think it's called For the Church from Midwestern Seminary. And every once in a while, they'll do an episode that they call it their mailbag episode, where they answer questions. We don't really have a mailbag, and nor did anybody actually send us these questions. But I was scrolling through the Church Communications Facebook group, shameless plug there. We'll link to that in the show notes of the podcast. And I saw one of our friends, I will not name her, but she's one of our church communication friends up in Wisconsin. You'll know exactly who I'm talking about. She posted a question in the Facebook group. And I was like, well, that's a really good question. And I bet a lot of people, other people would be wondering the same thing. And I thought, ooh, we've got a podcast episode today. Why don't we answer that question? And then I thought, what other questions are people asking in the church communications group that we could potentially answer on this podcast episode? So I grabbed a couple of others. So that's what we're doing today. We're actually in real time answering questions that people have asked in the church communications Facebook group. They're asking of their peers, of other church communications professionals and other people serving on church staff. And of course, they're probably not going to wait 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whenever this episode comes out to get their answer, but we're going to answer them nonetheless. Okay, so I've set the table for this, and I'm just going to read the first question as it was posed. I've edited these a little bit to condense them and to keep things anonymous. But here's the first question, Jason. You ready? Yep. All right. Direct mail. Is it still a thing? We have some on our team who would like to go old school and do a direct mail campaign. I think it would be better to have the people who attend leave Google reviews, then put the money into Google ads. Thoughts?
Oh, I have thoughts. Okay. So, 10 years ago when I came here to Missional Marketing, it was a passion to help churches, specifically comms teams, understand how digital tools can reach people. So that's why we put all our eggs in that basket. But here's the reality. I'm still a fan of direct mail. I'm still a fan of traditional, advertising methods. When it's built around a strategy. So I'm not a fan of going, hey, we have about 200,000 homes in our community. Let's send everybody a piece of mail. That's not an effective strategy, hoping that it works. I mean, it might, but it's so hard to understand how effective that was. Instead, what I always recommend is go take the approach of building a strategic marketing campaign. And I've done this with other churches. So here's an example. Let's say your church, you know, where you're located, that there is a cluster of people in a neighborhood. And maybe it's a newer neighborhood because new homes are going up there, or just you see that it changes a lot, you know, people buy and sell. But let's just say it's a neighborhood and we're talking maybe a couple of square miles or something like that. What I would do is several things. First, I'd identify the people who go to our church who live in those neighborhoods. Okay, so pull that list together. Second, I would do a direct mail campaign to those homes in that area. Third, I would run digital ads, both social media and Google ads, and I would target those areas. Okay, let's go back to that first list of the people who actually live in that neighborhood. Here's what I'd do. I'd recruit them. I would say, hey, we are sending you a message because you have unofficially been added to our marketing team. Here's what we're doing. We are blitzing your neighbors. We are wanting to let them know that we're a church that has answers for them. So you need to help us in this. So you can come by and pick up a yard sign, or we want you to share and invite your friends because they're going to get a direct mail piece, something in the mail, and they're going to be opening their phones and they're going to see in Google there's ads about the church, and they're going to go to social media and see there's social media ads and postings about the church. We are doing a marketing campaign because we want more people from your neighborhood coming to our church. So will you partner with us and inviting and bringing your friends? Just know we're giving you some tools here. So we'll give you some invite cards. We'll give you something to put like a yard sign, and we want to have a concentrated effort. That's how I would utilize a direct mail piece. Any thoughts?
Yeah, love it. I think, again, it's the word is strategy. That's the key word that you used. And a direct mail campaign by itself is not a strategy, but neither is a Google display ad campaign by itself a strategy, right? You have to have multiple pieces working together. I mean, you and I have talked about this on this podcast before. Your Google display ad campaign is only as good as the landing page that you're driving people to when they click on the ad and come to your website. So there are a lot of different factors. I actually had just yesterday a call with a church, and we were talking about we were talking about more traditional marketing methods. Specifically, they were talking about a local magazine and running ads in the local magazine, and wanted my thoughts, my input. And I would say that what we discussed about the magazine ads is very similar to any direct mail. The upside is you're going to be able to deliver a piece of content to people intentionally who may not otherwise see your marketing, right? You can't control specifically who sees your Facebook or Instagram ads or who sees your Google ads. You can't control that, but you can control which mailboxes get your postcard or your piece of mail, right? That what you can't do is you can't discern how much engagement you're getting from those pieces. That's the challenging side with traditional mail marketing, is that we really don't know how effective those pieces are when people are coming to our website. Now, you can use, you know, unique QR codes or a unique landing page for that piece. But the upside to a Google campaign is that I can go in and I can see age, gender, I can see the demographics. Exactly where people are.
Yep.
Then I can actually see what they've done when they come to the church website, right? Yep. Whether they engaged or not. So I'm I'm very involved in like church planting and church replanting. Yep. And I think a lot of churches that use the launch large model, which ARC and some other organizations would promote, will almost always include a direct mail piece in their church's launch campaign. And I don't think they would do it if they didn't find it to have some level of effectiveness. Yeah. Now, I lived in another community a few years ago where there was one church in my city that I literally got a postcard from them every single month. I don't know how much money they were spending on direct mail. I'm thinking it's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on direct mail, because it's a lot of postcards. I don't know that would be the wisest use of your money, but I'm like you. I'm not against using direct mail if it is part of a holistic strategy for marketing.
Yep.
Any final thoughts on that? Or should we move on to the next question?
No, next question.
Okay, we'll say enough said on that. All right, here's the next question, the next topic. This is what the person posted in the church communications Facebook group. I'm searching for some insight on volunteers in the communication world of a church. Have you had any luck with getting a volunteer in the roles of a photographer, videographer, merch designer, etc.? Any insight will be helpful.
Oh, wow. This is the ongoing, always looking for great servant leaders who have a talent. So, I do this. I have done a lot with churches in this space. And so finding and retaining and keeping them is really, really difficult. They're in your church, likely. At least there's got to be somebody in your church, right? God's gifted you with the ability of maybe holding a camera, even if it's an iPhone, and taking good pictures, because it's not necessarily the technology, because my phone is such a great camera. It's really about the ability to see and take the right picture that's going to evoke emotion, right? That just having that camera eye. So there's probably people in your church that have that. What I've found to be most successful is when you are recruiting these people, you empower them, you celebrate them, you also make sure that you help them. So empowering them means, hey, you are, you know, you're getting a badge. You're like a staff member, right? A non-paid staff member on our team who can go into any kind of area and take pictures, because this is how we help others who don't go to our church recognize who we are, right? So you want to empower them. Then you really want to equip them. What is it that you're going to need to be able to be successful in this role? Because this is a really, really important role. And then you got to celebrate them. You got to make sure that you're bringing them together and you're honoring them, and you're pouring into them just as much as what you're trying to get out of them. And so it's just like any other volunteer position at your church. You really want to be very mindful about that. But I'm just telling you, you can't just, hey, take some pictures and let us know how it goes. That's not the way you want to do it. You got to set those expectations. I'll tell you, the churches that I work with have done that, have found really great key volunteers. I've also seen the churches that kind of abuse that and then they quit. In fact, not only do they quit the church. Hmm. So it can get really ugly really quick if you don't really empower them. So first things first, make sure you've actually built like a sort of a servant leader volunteer job description of what this looks like. What are those expectations? And then let the church know, hey, we have opportunities. Now, most of this is in photography. You get into video, that's definitely a more complex thing, because video is just a different animal than snapping photos for social media or whatnot. But I would outline that, and that's what I would recruit those people, and you make sure you have kind of one-on-ones with them, and you know, you treat them as a staff person, so to speak. That's really, really important. That's sort of my thoughts.
We've recorded so many episodes of this podcast on volunteers. Yeah. We've had episodes, we'll link to these in the show notes. We've had conversations with Nick Blevins, with Marianne Sibley, with Dan Ryland, all about volunteers. We did an episode last year on building a photography team. And I'll link to all those in the show notes. I'll find all those episodes and we'll get them in there.
We've done a lot of them.
Yeah, we've done a bunch. I'll start with this. I think it's a good stewardship of your human resources to always be looking for ways that you can empower people in your church to serve on every ministry team, and that includes communications.
Yeah.
So we've preached on this podcast on this before. I think it's a fail on a church's part to think that all the communication stuff has to be done by paid staff and that you can't empower volunteers to serve on your team. So for starters, I think you got to. I do think you mentioned this, and I'll bang the gong a little louder. You start with a very clear position description.
Yeah.
What the role looks like, what the expectations are, what kind of equipment, training, and support that the person that you're asking to volunteer is going to get, and what the time expectations are. You should do this with every ministry in your church, but I think it's really important that it's not just, hey, do you want to be a photographer and help us take pictures for our social media? Or, hey, do you want to run a camera on Sundays and be like, it needs to be a very, very clear position description with what you're looking for. a lot of those skills that you're talking about, photography and videography or video editing, those types of things, are skills that can actually be learned. If somebody has some basic understanding, mm-hmm. you perhaps purchase some online tutorials or some lessons or some things to help them grow in those skills so they actually get better. But I think having a very clear position description, having a very clear set of standard operating procedures in terms of what you're expecting them to do week in, week out, month in, month out, I think those are really important. I think if you can begin with just a couple of those roles, like the photographer role, you'll begin to see how you can actually incorporate other people, such as project coordinators or copywriters. There's so many different roles that you could employ in your volunteer communications team. You just have to think outside the box. You have to do it successfully a few times. But I think it starts with setting a very, very clear set of expectations for what the role entails, what the responsibilities are, and how the role fits into the big picture of your communication strategy.
Yeah, and just go to my BFF, Claude, to find out what those job description looks like. So ChatGPT, go there and say, help me write a position for a church that's, for a photographer at a church and blah, 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 and let it spit out what you should post. So start there and see what AI takes you to.
I'm sorry, I'm looking up right now that podcast episode that was in my head that slipped my mind. Oh, it was Ben Stapley. That's who we did it with. Ben Stapley. We did a great podcast episode with Ben Stapley on photography, telling your church's story through photos. And we talked a lot about volunteers. So yeah, I was like, there's something there. But we've done a lot, we're at the end of the week, and my brain is a little bit mushy. Okay. Hopefully that was good. All right, last topic for this week's episode. Here's the other comment or question that was submitted in the church communications group.
Okay.
Need some advice/input, please. All right. How do we get people to connect, that's in quotes, without sounding like we are begging? We've had connect cards, digital and physical, for a while. We have several families who have been here 3 to 4 months and some almost a year who have never connected.
Huh. Well,
let me start before you answer and say, by the way, universal problem. Every church is wrestling with the same challenge here. What are your thoughts there, Jason?
Well, kind of like you just took the words right out of my mouth. It's a universal problem. It's never going to stop. Maybe facial recognition will help someone. But it's one of those things where you have to, it's not begging, but it is asking. So some people just want to stay this way. Okay. We have to be okay with that. You just want to hide and we don't know where they are on their spiritual journey. Maybe they were really burned by a church or they're just, it's a messy situation because we're humans. And this is all God's got to work with is us humans. So sometimes people just want to hide and we have to let them. But I think if you give opportunities for people, to kind of raise their hand digitally, that's important. So one opportunity would be a survey. In the church, you say, hey, it's once a year, we always want to do kind of a sort of a discipleship survey. So would you mind taking just a couple minutes and see this QR code? Go ahead and scan that in and just enter your name and email and answer these four questions. It's going to really help our team help you, right? Something like that is, I see churches do that every now and then. That's a way of getting a new name and a new email. You'd be like, oh, those people were not in our database before. Wow, that's pretty cool. So that's one thing. Another thing would be just simply, hey, my church does this. We're about to have Easter services, as we said. They want you to RSVP. Now, they want you to RSVP not because they want to know your information, although that's the benefit of it. It's really to help manage crowd control because it's a pretty big church and our worship centers are
the worst. Your church has one of the worst parking lots ever. So
yeah, it does. So we don't have the massive, so
you like, have to have, you have to have a plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to have a plan. So we try to crowd control while we ask people to RSVP. They have to give us their name and email and how many in there, are going to attend, that kind of thing, right? Choose a service. So that's a little, so it's kind of a, I don't want to say the word trick, but it's kind of a unique way to allow people to raise their hand and tell you who they are without really feeling like, will you please just tell us who you are so we can make our numbers look better? Like, that's not what you want to do.
We'll give you a t-shirt. We'll give you a coffee cup. No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, don't do that. People don't care about that stuff. So, and then just constantly asking them, hey, go to the connection. We'd love to. If you have a starting point class or something like that, some sort of a short, you know, class, you know, always encouraging people to go there. But you have to recognize, as much as you ask, you can't force people to. They want to remain unknown. And that's okay. We have to be okay with that.
I coach churches in this space all the time. We'll call it their engagement pathway or their assimilation strategy. Yeah. For starters, there was a red flag that went up for me when I read this question. And that is this: we have several families who've been here for 3 to 4 months who've never connected. I'm going to assume that if they're families, we're talking about families with kids. And if you have a children's ministry program, you should have a check-in system for your children's ministry. That's, if your church is reaching families, there's no way around them not giving you their information if you're signing kids in to children's ministry. So start there. That will eliminate a lot of that anonymity, because people are entrusting their kids with you and they shouldn't be anonymous. You should have their contact information. You should have details about their child and allergies and things like that. So start there. You kind of glossed over this, but I actually think it's the most important part for churches, which is having a first step for every newcomer. And the first step is not stop at the information center or get a free t-shirt. It is a connection point of some sort that gets them into your discipleship pathway or into your assimilation strategy. Now, I stole this. I've shared this with churches many, many times. And I think this is a Rick Warrenism. But Rick Warren says, if you want maximum momentum with people, your first call to action needs to be a low vision, low commitment call to action. And from there, you move to a high vision, high commitment call to action. So for instance, we are going to do every month or every couple of months pizza with the pastor after the service. And we're not asking you to fill out the connection card because you're new. We're asking you to fill out the connection card because if you're new and you're ready to take your next steps, we want to invite you to pizza with the pastor after the service. And we're going to have that on the calendar regularly. Maybe it's once a month, maybe it's once a quarter, but people know, hey, if I'm going to attend pizza with the pastor, I need to RSVP because they need to know that I'm coming so that they have food for me. That is a low vision, low commitment call to action. You're not asking them to become members. You're not asking them to sign up for a ministry. You're not asking them to take a class about Jesus. You're asking them to come and eat, get to know the pastor, low vision, low commitment. Now at that engagement, the pastor is then going to cast a higher vision and call for greater commitment, sharing a little bit of the vision, maybe talk about small groups or Bible study or serving in a ministry or membership or whatever is appropriate for your church. But you need to give people a reason to give you their information. Hi, if you're new, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to call you sometimes. We'd love to put your email in our massive email list so we can send you our newsletter every week. Nobody's going to respond for that. But what they will say is, and I use this language as well, it's not if you're a first-time guest, but if you're new. And by the way, if you've never attended pizza with the pastor, we're just going to consider you new until you do. That's how you break through the new barrier. So if you've never attended our pizza with the pastor, you've been coming to the church for a while, we'd love to invite you to this so we can help you take your next steps into our community. That's what we're asking them to exchange the information for. And so I've found over and over again with churches that when you change the call to action from give us your information because we want it to, hey, we want to invite you to this thing, give us your information. Oh, and by the way, when you're at that thing, we can actually get even more information from you. We can get your birthday. We can get your address. We can get all the stuff that we want for our church management software. And that will actually increase the percentage of people that will fill it out. But you're right, Jason. Yep. Not everyone will. There are some people that are going to sit on the back row and never give you their information for as long as they're at the church.
Yeah. And there's another, if you want to help people not have to be known in terms of their face or shake a hand, just have them text the word new. Mm-hmm. We do that at church. So text the word new to 48,000. That's actually the digits. And when you do that, all you're basically doing is just allowing the church to kind of know a little bit. At least we know who you're mobile.
Right.
And then they do a really nice job of gradually, hey, click here if you want to just make yourself known a little bit. And so it's just a gradual way. But see, that's such a, because just about anybody will do that. Because if you know my mobile number, which I mean, it gets sold anyway, you know, that's not a very big, coming to meet the pastor to have pizza definitely is a, okay, I'm saying who I am, which yep. is still very, it's very low entry. But even lower than that would be just text the word "I'm new" to this number and let us send you some information. At least maybe you could start there. If you don't have, like you yeah. said, Bart, if you don't have something for children's check-in, you need that. If you don't have something for the pastors, you need that. And maybe you have a texting way of just getting to capture some information. So hopefully that helps you.
Yeah. I've got a couple other thoughts before we wrap this up. If you're a smaller church, which I would assume that, or normal sized church, we'll say normal sized church. A lot of normal sized churches, actually, I even know a couple of larger churches that still pass an offering plate or an offering yeah. bag during your services. Yeah. What I always communicate, if we're passing the offering plate or the offering bucket, they use buckets at Life Church, like chicken buckets. If they're passing a bucket, I would say this. If you're new, we have no expectations for you to give us money. But if you took the time to fill out that connection card that's in the seat in front of you, that's what you can put in the bucket or the bag or the plate when it yep. passes by. That's your contribution to our church today, is just sharing with us a little bit of information about who you are and how we might be able to support you and your family. I've got a couple of smaller churches that I've done some work with that they have every person in the church fill out a connection card every week. So when the new people don't do it, they're the odd man out, rather than, because what you, if you think about it, you're sitting yeah. in a room of 100 people or 300 people or 800 people, and you're looking around and nobody else is filling out the card. That's a little awkward, right? It signals to all the people sitting around you that you're the new person because you're filling out the card. Yeah. Whereas if everybody grabs a card and everybody fills out a card and everybody puts that card in the offering plate or in the yeah. box in the back on the way out, now I'm normal. I'm part of the crowd. Those are a couple of things that I know other churches have done. I'm not saying that I think those are the best ideas, but they are ideas that maybe in your context, something like that would work.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
Any parting shots for our friends out there in podcast land, Jason?
No, but just, hey, those kinds of questions are great. We love to just kind of unpack those and give you our advice. And, you know, Bart and I have combined decades of ministry experience. So
too many
decades to count, yes. But it's an honor. Thank you for, you know, asking these kinds of questions, people. We'd love to be able to support and share our advice. And hopefully this is something you can take and run with. So thanks.
Yeah. And just a reminder, if you're not in the Church Communications Facebook group, this is the kind of stuff that people are engaging in all the time. So you should jump over to Facebook, join the Church Communications Facebook group. And hey, if you have future questions, just ask them there. And you've got a world full of colleagues and co-ministers who can answer your questions, maybe even better than Jason and I do. Yeah. One last thing. If you've made it all the way to the end of this podcast episode and you haven't ever subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, please make sure that you do that. And if you're watching on our YouTube channel, you engage with us. You can engage with this with us there. You can subscribe to the channel. You can leave a comment. Love to engage with you there. In the meantime, hope that your spring season is going well, and we'll look forward to seeing you on another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.